chosen a pivotal day to join us. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll launches a biographical study on an Old Testament favorite. Over the coming weeks, we'll become acquainted with this ancient man of faith, along with his family and their remarkable story. Using the Bible as our guide, we'll put skin on this character, identifying the virtues that made him great. Chuck titled the series, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. Can you guess the name? Here's a clue. Scripture refers to him as the friend of God. Chuck's first message is titled, A Patriarch in Panorama.
The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, is able to pierce beyond the soul and the spirit through the joints and the marrow. And it is a critic, a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Perhaps that is why we revere it so. It tells us the truth. Doesn't mince words. Doesn't concern itself with hurting our feelings. Tells us the truth. Like a good physician who, if he does not tell us or if she does not tell us the truth, it's called malpractice. God's word declares the truth. And for that reason, we revere it. Whether Genesis or some part of other parts, all the way to Revelation. We begin our reading in Genesis 11 today, 11:27 to the end of the chapter. And then please turn to Acts chapter 7 in the New Testament. Genesis 11, Acts 7. Whether Old or New Testament, it is equally inspired. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Literally, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable. I provided you with an outline for today's message, as well as a chart on the life of Abraham, that a life we began to study today. And therefore, these two readings tie in with the background information on the man's life. May we stand together for the reading of God's word, Genesis 11, verse 27. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Acts 7, verse 2, the words of Stephen. Hear me, brethren and fathers, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, leave your country and your relatives, and come into the land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. Our hope is that God, through these days ahead, will open our eyes to an understanding of the life of a man of God, and more importantly, to the truth of the God of that man.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message called A Patriarch in Panorama.
Today we begin a journey in the study of the life of a man of God. Not a perfect man by any means, but a man of God nevertheless. A man who came to know and to trust and to obey his God. Though he was not born with that interest in mind, and certainly was not raised by parents who taught him that, which makes the study of his life all the more intriguing. For as I've often thought, the great thing about studying the life of the man of God is we discover so much about the God of that man. For he is the real significant one, not only in Abraham's life, but in this book of life. Abraham came to be known as the friend of God. And as God's friend, he began to understand him better. And I'm sure by the end of his life, his journal was filled with insights he certainly did not have early on, which could be said for any one of us who have come to know and love the God who made us. So it seems only right that we first focus on the God of this man. And for the sake of time, I will limit the comments to three things that are true about our God. Have always been true. They are true now. They always will be true. First, perhaps foremost, God's love for us is infinite. It is infinite, which is a big word meaning without boundaries, without being able to be measured. His love is not conditional. His love is not fickle. His love is not like human love. It is a love that goes beyond all boundaries. He knows all about us, but he loves us still. Nothing he knows could make him love us less. And no matter how deep our devotion may grow to be, he could not love us more. He knows what is best for us. And even when we do not cooperate with what is best, he loves us still. His infinite love prompts him to pay close attention to each one of us. Because, if you will, he values those he loves. We are valuable to the Lord our God. His love is total, complete. His infinite love prompts us to pay close attention to what he says and how he leads, which brings the second truth regarding God. God's guidance over us is unpredictable. I smile when I say that because of this infinite love, which is without boundaries, we often find ourselves in following God that he has led us into places we would have never, ever imagined. God's leading, God's guidance is full of surprises. And that's the way it must be because he is an infinite being. Sometimes those surprises confuse us. And it's easy in the midst of the confusion to forget that God does not color within our lines. His plan is unfolding, and it reaches beyond all human logic. And his plan for us, which is always good, frequently causes us to think, why? Why now? Or why me? Or why there? As he's guiding us from one place to the next. God guides us unpredictably. The third, God's blessings on us are astonishing. They are astonishing. In the midst of situations that would cause others to panic and run, God astonishingly gives us a calm and a peace. What a blessing. When things are tight for us financially, rather than rushing to find a relief, we have learned and we keep learning that he will provide for our needs in ways we would have never expected, and that in itself is astonishing. In times of dire need, he provides us with assurance and confidence. As others are scratching their heads, wondering, what in the world, God brings us the astonishing sense of inner peace and relief and assurance. As the psalmist writes, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God marvelously provides for us in such a way that we could say it is absolutely astonishing. His love is infinite. His guidance is unpredictable. And his blessings are astonishing. Woven through all three, his love, his guidance, his blessings, we could write the word grace. Because in each case, he gives us what we don't deserve. G-R-A-C-E. Isn't it true? We don't deserve his love, but he chooses us and demonstrates his love. And he does it over and over and over again. That's grace. He's guiding us, though we're sometimes digging in our heels or reluctant to follow and occasionally even rebellious enough to say no. He stays with it. Doesn't write us off. Before long, we realize we cannot have peace staying here when he wants us there. And by his grace, he allows us to move on without explaining the reasons, often lacking human logic. Grace. And we're unable to anticipate his blessings, and yet they continue to flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. If I were to pass a microphone among you who are listening right now, one person after another could stand and testify to the things I've just been saying. You realize that you're loved beyond all measure. You don't deserve that. And here's this example. Or you've been led to go here or to be a part of that, and you never would have guessed it. It's totally unpredictable. And you certainly would have to say that your blessings are innumerable as you look back on your life. Abraham's life is all about that in a nutshell. It is about being loved by God so much that he is selected, even when Abram wasn't looking and wasn't seeking God. And then it's all about where God moved him and brought him from one time to another in the journey of faith. Just as Abraham accepted his love, he found he could trust God. And he could not only trust him to lead him where he was guiding him, but he could trust him to bless him as he had promised. Like the blessing of having a son. even in his old age. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's take up the story of Abraham in Acts chapter 7. And while you're turning to Acts 7, I want to mention something that is often not explained. We talk about how God has made the Hebrews his chosen people, how he loves them. They are like the pupil of his eye. He keeps his attention on Israel. He loves the people of the Hebrews. And Abraham, being the father of the nation, modeled that and discovered the truth of that. Now, you might wonder why. So hold your finger at Acts 7, where I just had you turn, and locate Deuteronomy chapter 7. Okay? Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, find chapter 7, put your finger on verse 6. It's a wonderful three verses, 6, 7, and 8, that answer the question, why? For you who have such inquisitive natures, this will not satisfy at all, but at least it is an answer. And I love the answer. Deuteronomy 7, 6. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth. Moses is saying or writing this to the people of the Hebrews. You are that. You are chosen of God. Verse 7. Now the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all the peoples, but because the Lord loved you. I love it. Why does he love you? Because. It's like your mother used to say when you say, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Because it's best for you. Why do you love us, God, as Hebrews? Because I choose to love you. Verse 8. Because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand because he loves you. He redeemed you from the house of slavery because he loved you, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, because he loves you. Infinite amount of love. Why? Just because you are on his heart. And if I may go a step further, because he sees value in loving you. He knows you and me so much better than we know ourselves. We don't see much lovely at all about ourselves, unless you're a narcissist and you're not lovely at all, if that's true of you. We realize we're undeserving, we're unworthy, and yet we are the object of his love? Yes. Why? Because he chooses to love you, which makes grace all the more profound. He couldn't even name one reason that he would reach into the ranks of humanity and select you or me. Now, all of that brings us to the second verse of Acts 7. Stephen is about to be stoned. The Hebrew officials who are going to take his life give him a chance to take the stand and to testify of his faith. Interestingly, he starts with the beginning of their race. Verse 2, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. It's a long word. You know very little about it unless you've studied it. But if you study it in that era, you know it was anything but a place of barrenness, where the howling winds of the desert blew through. That wasn't Mesopotamia back then. Oh, it was a thriving metropolis, especially Ur, among the Chaldeans. And that's where Abram lived. This busy city of Ur in Mesopotamia, we read that our father appeared to Abraham. Notice Abraham doesn't reach out to God. God appears to Abraham. That's grace. God doesn't seek and find us because we begged him to. God found us on his own and set his love upon us. And if you will, he set the hounds of heaven against us and put into motion his irresistible grace that won us. And so he does for Abraham. In fact, he said to Abraham, verse 3, leave your country and your relatives, come into the land that I will show you. Notice he doesn't tell him where it is. Remember, his leading is unpredictable. And then he, that's Abraham, left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran from there after his father died. Unpredictably, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. We have an old saying, what goes around comes around. You Hebrew officials who think the sun rose and set on you forget that you are a part of the chain. You're part of the linkage in the chain of God's plan, which began with his love for our father Abraham. And he led him out to go to a place that we now call home. But Abram had never been there in his life, for God was leading him unpredictably. And along the way, God made him a promise that is unconditional. Listen to this. I am going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. And that nation, through that nation, all the other nations will be blessed. Those nations that bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. Remember that, people of the 21st century. We better never release our love for Israel and our protection of it. God's people, God's blessing rests upon them. God's favor is there because of his grace. And he gave Abraham this covenant. Now, there's something very practical in all of this. Abram is 75 years old. And God gives him this promise. You are going to have, from you will come nations. Abram must have thought, could we start with one? Just one. He blinks and looks over at his wife. He's 65 years old, and she thinks the same thing. And God says, I know what I'm doing. And he gets to be 85, and there's no son. He says, trust me, Abraham. So he trusts him, sometime more than others. And then when he gets to be 90, his wife is 80. You think about it might be about time, God, for you to keep your promise? No, not yet. So when he turns 100, now's a good time to have a baby. Abram's 100, do the math, Sarah's 90. You got to be gifted to handle a walker and a stroller at the same time. Unpredictable. Incredible plan. Some of you are saying, I'm so glad God did that for them, for them. Some of you are thinking, that's an astonishing blessing. As a matter of fact, the unusual nature of it makes it all the more astonishing. What you and I are going to find in the story of this man's life, over and over and over again, how a nation is birthed, how the nation is going to grow from that first son, Isaac, and his wife, and then on into the years and decades and centuries yet future. Why? Because when you walk by faith, it's not supposed to make a lot of logical sense. You trust God against all odds. He made his covenant with Abraham. Understand, it's an unconditional covenant. I will bless you, Abraham. From you, from your loins, will come a nation through whom the world will be blessed. And those who bless that nation will be blessed. Those who don't will be cursed.
At this stage in their lives, Abram is 100 years old. Sarah is 90. Not exactly the childbearing years. And yet God had a plan. There's much more we need to learn as this compelling story unfolds. You're listening to Insight for Living, and the first message in a new biographical series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To purchase the collection of CDs or downloadable audio files for this comprehensive study, go to insightworld.org. In less than a week, we'll conclude another month of daily studies on Insight for Living. And in doing so, let me extend a special word of thanks to our monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who chooses to support the ministry of Insight for Living with a donation every month. As their numbers increase, monthly companions are providing strength and stability to this ministry. And many people are hearing Chuck's teaching as a direct result of their generosity. Maybe today's the day you'll step forward and join their ranks. You can do that right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companions. Now, whether you decide to become a monthly companion or simply give a one-time donation, we'd like to say thanks by providing the 2018 Insight for Living wall calendar. Next year's theme is My Little Children Love One Another. By displaying this calendar in your home or office, you'll have a daily reminder to express your Christian faith in tangible ways. Each month contains a thoughtful scripture reference and a beautiful photograph, depicting the way the church family cares for one another and reaches out to our community with God's love. Be sure to ask for your personal copy of the 2018 Wall Calendar when you contact Insight for Living today. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll continues his biographical series on Abraham tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Patriarch in Panorama, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.